This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. Just north of Chicago, in the suburb of Evanston, Central Street is hardly an exotic locale. It's a typical upscale American shopping district, dotted with Tony Bistros and boutiques. But just past the stationery store, if you close your eyes and breathe deeply, you'll swear you're in Bombay or Saigon or Morocco. The aromas are drifting from the doorway at 1941 Central Street, the address of the Spice House.
Hi, ladies.
Hi, how are you?
Is something in particular you're after?
Just looking.
Okay, well, smelling is free.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
It's a small, quaint shop with exposed brick walls, antique lamps, and an old-time upright cash register. And there's shelf upon shelf and row upon row of neatly arranged apothecary jars filled with spices from the far reaches of the globe. Vanilla from Madagascar, star anise from China, nutmeg from Grenada, and cumin from Turkey and Pakistan. The Spice House is a store with aroma and atmosphere, but no attitude. This is not Dean and DeLuca or some store that can intimidate those without deep pockets or a devotion to gourmet food. The owners, Tom and Patty Erd, see themselves as shopkeepers. Ask for a tour, and they will steer you to a rack near the front door, the baking section. It's Patty's favorite, and she's quick to offer samples of cinnamon that fill the nose and seem to explode on the tongue.
So that's the cinnamon they prefer in Europe, and it's a very delicate, very sort of citrusy, sophisticated cinnamon. As you move to China, we have a higher oil-grade cinnamon, about a 4 or 5%, and that is going to produce a much richer, fuller flavor. This is great cinnamon.
Oh, that has much more bite.
Mm-hmm. And then, even stronger is this one, which is from Vietnam, which is our best seller.
Oh, that's...
Isn't that great? It almost has a heat like a chili pepper.
Yeah,
so sometimes people
find it
too hot.
Patty's husband, Tom, stands next to a barrel of dark, gnarly 4-foot shards that resemble tree bark. Actually, it is tree bark, cinnamon in its natural state, not those dainty little sticks that you stir your cocoa with.
In Indonesia, they use a curved knife and they peel the bark off the branches and it lays in the sun. And you know how birch bark just curls up on the tree? Cinnamon does the same thing. The bark lays in the sun, and as it dries, it curls up. And it'll be 4 to 6 feet long at that point. And then they take bundles of it and just run it through a bandsaw. So the 4-inch cinnamon stick that you stir your tea with is just been cut by a saw. That's why the ends are so straight. God don't make the ends that straight.
The Erds import raw spices from all over the world. Their storerooms are stacked high with barrels and burlap sacks. And the spices are prepared on site, often by hand, using pestles, sifters, stone mills, and mechanical grinders of all sizes.
Down to the dungeon, as we tell our staff when they have a grand pepper.
The heavy-duty work takes place in the basement. It's where tree bark from Vietnam and Sri Lanka is pulverized into finely ground cinnamon.
Yeah, this is a 10-horse Fitz mill. We call it the bad boy. It's fairly simple technology. It's just a series of hammers. It's spinning at 2400 RPM.
Once safety goggles and masks are in place, we reach into a box of cinnamon bark and feed it into what looks like a big stainless steel wood chipper.
Grab the kindling.
This is how a little operation has built a big reputation. Some of the country's best-known chefs are loyal customers, Charlie Trotter, Rick Bayless, and Julia Child, among others. New shipments arrive daily, and the Erds only grind a week's worth of inventory at any one time. You can see, smell, and certainly taste the difference. The colors are intense, not the mossy greens or grayish browns from the grocery store spice aisle. And whew! The aromas are intense. Tom and Patty Erd bring the tastes and smells of the world's cuisine to their Evanston store. From the glass menagerie of curry blends, to the teeny red tendrils in the padlock case of prized saffron, to the vast variety of pepper.
basically one plant produces three specific flavors. And when the pepper is young, it's green, and it has a very zesty, sort of a sharp, tangy aroma. As the pepper gets more mature, it dries to sort of a reddish color, a dark red color, and they lay the pepper in the sun, and it turns into black pepper. When they lay, after the berries have dried to black, they actually soak them in water, and they basically rub off the black shell, and on the inside you have white pepper.
Here, every spice has a story, and relaying those tales, well, that's Tom's specialty.
Europeans thought that white and black were different plants for centuries. About the 14th century, there was a friar in France.
French friar.
A French friar. His name was Bartholomeus. Bartholomeus wrote to the bishop. He must have been cutting these open. And he says, you know, it must be this, he's telling the bishop. In the land where the peppercorn trees grow, the peppercorn tree forest must be inhabited by serpents. And the natives of that land have to set the forest on fire, driving out the serpents. And the peppercorns that get burnt are the black ones, and the peppercorns that escape the flames are the white ones. And that's why they're more expensive.
Pluck any spice from a shelf, and the herbs can tell you its history and lore, and of course, how to cook with it. Knowledge that comes only from generations spent in the spice business.
This is my family business, and it has been since 1957. And my husband, actually, when my dad was talking about spices, my husband was paying close attention, which as children you tend to tune out the people close to you, and he learned probably more than I know about spices.
So you've known each other since you were kids?
I was Larry Lunchbucket. I was trained as a machinist working in a factory in Milwaukee, and I would get laid off all the time. Well, I was dating Patty, and when I would get laid off, I would work for her dad, and picked up the business that way, because I was laid off quite a bit.
On the day we visited the Spice House, customers seemed to fall into two groups. Passers-by, who drifted in to explore the sights and smells, and those with a specific item in mind. A regular, who swings through every other week to buy a small stash of nutmeg, whole, not ground, and an elderly Chinese man who left clutching his cane and a small sack of candied ginger. The casual shopper and the connoisseur are equally important to Tom and Patty Erd.
When people cook, most of the time they're cooking for people that they love. So what we do, the fruits of our labor, become part of someone else's expression of love.
This isn't just stuff bottles on a shelf. It's really important.
Patty and Tom Erd at the Spice House in Evanston, Illinois. They also have a store near downtown Chicago. You can see pictures of the Erds and the spice grinder that Tom calls the bag boy at our website, npr.org.